Where are we going to be today? We're going to be in the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to put this down as a title: The Purpose of the Lord's Church. How's that for a title? And we're going to be in Ephesians. Not going to be totally removed from what Brandon talked about. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. All right. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through this whole chapter. Now I'm not going to be that long, but I'm going to go through this whole chapter. Now understand, this book of Ephesians is the epistle of Paul, the letter of Paul to the Ephesian brethren. This is the church that Paul spent 3 years teaching. Acts, the 20th chapter. Before I get too far, let me run over there a little bit. Acts, the 20th chapter. Hold your place there. I'll get back here. Acts, the 20th chapter. After 3 years, the Apostle Paul is getting ready to leave this church. He doesn't know that he'll ever see any of them again. And so he's getting them ready for his leaving. He says, verse 26. Verse 25. Now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. So he didn't think that they'll ever see him again. Wherefore, I'm done ministering to you all. Wherefore, because of what I have done in the past 3 years, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now, what he means by that, he is not responsible for any false doctrines they may hold. He's pure from their blood. Why? Because I have not shunned, get away from him, to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul didn't just preach one or two things to that church. He preached all the counsel of God. Now, Paul was quite able to do that. He had a wonderful education. He had personal tutoring by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Arabian desert for 3 years. So he had a wonderful education, probably the best, not probably the best that any human beings ever had. So he said, I've declared unto you all the counsel of God. I haven't been Johnny One Note like some of them right today are trying to tell me all you do is to preach love or preach Christ. Well, I'm going to preach Christ and everything I preach, but I must do like the Apostle Paul, preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. Go back to Matthew 28. Now, as Brother Brown said here, you've got a bunch of liberal dogs that are trying to move us away from our heritage of truth. They have been doing it for a long time. And I have known this my whole ministry. And I have talked about it publicly and not backed up about it. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake, and this is just before Jesus ascends into heaven. He's already died, was buried for 72 hours. Mark that down. Jesus was in the tomb 72 hours. That's what the Bible says. And I don't care who differs with that. They're wrong, because Matthew 12, Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. And how many hours are in a day? 12. How many hours are in a night? 12. That means 24 hours. 3 times 24 is 72. It is impossible that Jesus was put in the grave on Friday afternoon and came out of the grave Sunday morning. That is a lie, and it is a denial of the gospel. The Bible plainly says he must have been put in the grave on Wednesday afternoon. Therefore, Good Friday is false. It's phony. It's not biblical. That's what man has made, not what God has said. Anyway, he says all authority. The word power is exousios in the Greek. It means authority. He says all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He got his authority in heaven from God Almighty. He got his authority in earth by being baptized by John the Baptist. Not sprinkled, not poured, but immersed by John the Baptist. And if your baptism doesn't go back to John the Baptist, you don't have scriptural baptism.
Right.
Now he says, to whom? Well, this is 11 people. The 11 members, he set some in the church first apostles. And that's exactly what he did. He began calling them out as he walked along the shores of Galilee. He said, come and I'll make you fishers of men. And he set them the word church doesn't mean a building, folks. That's modern evolutionary interpretation. The word ecclesia, the word church, meant assembly. That's what it meant when Jesus said, upon this rock, him, the rock, I'll build my assembly, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's why his kind of church is still here today. Anyway, and there's a lot of so-called Baptists that don't believe that, but all true Baptists believe it. Anyway, he says to the 11, Judas went and hanged himself. So there's 11 members of that first John the Baptist baptized church, and that's all there is. He says, ye, second person plural, that would be a good old you all. You all go, therefore. Well, why? Because all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. There's the therefore. When you see therefore, see what it's there for. And that's what it's there for. Because he's got all authority. And teach some of the old brethren. And I think they meant well, but they did wrong. They said, well, that says teach, but it means making disciples. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Number one, we can't make disciples. I can't get somebody into the kingdom of heaven. I can't get somebody born again. All I can do is preach the gospel to them. And if the Lord takes that gospel in power through the Holy Spirit and does a work of grace in them, then they're made children of God. You can't do it. I can't do it. No other preacher can do it. He said, you go and teach, disciple. That's the Greek word mathetes. This is not a Greek class, but that's what it was written in. Mathetes, that means a disciple, or you might say a pupil. When you have a pupil, where are you? You are in school or a class, right? That's what a pupil is. It's a learner, a student, and you have one teaching. He says to his kind of church, you all go and teach all nations. You don't back off of any of them. Color or anything, language, anything. You go into all the world and teach. Oh, he's a teacher, he ain't no preacher. Well, if ain't no teaching, there ain't been no preaching, is what Brother Brown says. And he's right. This is a teaching institution. Well, and then baptizing them. Baptizo in the Greek means immerse, submerge, immerse, plunge under, cover over. Not sprinkling won't do. That's a travesty. Pouring won't do. That's a travesty. It is immersion. It is showing forth that Christ died, was buried. What kind of a burial can you have with the sprinkling? None. What kind of a burial can you have with the pouring? None. The only way you can have a burial, picture a burial, is to go under the water. That's how Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. He wasn't poured with a coconut shell. He was immersed. Anyway, and in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, there's a Trinity of God. Some of them try to say Jesus only. Well, if you know who Jesus is, you might be able to do that. But this is the formula for baptism. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then what? We started out teaching. Now what do we do now? Teaching. So our ministry is a continual teaching ministry. Teaching them to observe all things. And whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Now I've got a bunch more on this subject. I'll just quote this in Jude 3. Jude says, for us to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And what is the faith? It is the whole body of doctrine that we are taught in the Word of God. You can't escape that. And who are these people? Oh, just preach Jesus. What kind of advice is that? To move us away from the faith once delivered unto the saints. We're not going to do that. We're going to teach all things. Now let's get back to Ephesians, if I can find it. I told you all to hold your place, and I didn't hear it. I got it. Ephesians 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. That's Paul saying he's the prisoner of the Lord. Now, that's not in a bad connotation. He is a willing bond servant, slave of Jesus Christ. So he said, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. And I beseech you, this is to the church at Ephesus and all churches that match up with Ephesus, Life, Faith, and Order. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He's not wanting you to get saved. He assumes they're saved. And if you are saved, God has called you to a walk. And that walk is to match up with your calling. Amen. And so we were in Peter last week. He said, make your calling and election sure. So here is the calling, vocation, that you're called with. What is your vocation? Not vacation, vocation is your job. You say, well, I'm going to get paid for this. That's all right. God calls every one of his people to walk a certain walk. We make an agreement to walk by our church covenant when you join this church. We don't put pressure on anybody to join. But if you come in to join this church, you say you're saved, you follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, you unite with one of his kind of churches like this one, we agree to something. We agree to those things that the Bible teaches that we ought to do as a child of God. Amen? Amen. And we say if there's one word of that covenant that doesn't match up with the Scripture, we'll throw the covenant out and stick with the Scriptures. This is our only rule of faith and practice. But that abbreviates what the Bible teaches we ought to do. One of the things is that we will be faithful to the services of the Lord's kind of church. Amen. Amen? Now, he says, now we're to do this with all lowliness and meekness. We don't do it in pride. People, oh, y'all teach that old Baptist bride doctrine and you're full of pride. Oh, no. No, not at all. Not at all. We teach what the Lord teaches.
Amen.
You were in Revelation 19. What we got there? We've got the wedding of all weddings to take place. Is that what I just everybody? Really? You've got the bride and the bridegroom, and then you've got the guest and you've got the servants. Don't tell me it's all the same thing. It's not. And you read Paul in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I've espoused you. All of those precious terms. Ephesians 5, he talks about that. Yes, the Lord has a bride. And whether you understand it or not, write it down. I'll talk to you more about it. God chose his nation, Israel. Not because they were big or anything special. They were the smallest. And God chose the nation of Israel to be his showcase to the nations. And they somewhat did it, but they failed miserably at it. That's their business and God's business. But God also has got an elect people. According as he hath chosen us, elected, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. But he's got another elect, and that's his elect bride. Now, whether you know it or not, that's the way it is. Nobody has a general wife. They have a specific wife. And the Lord above all has a specific bride. And he's completely in charge of that. Anyway, now, with all lowliness and meekness, that's our attitude. Lowliness and meekness. We're not prideful. If we get that way, you better look out because destruction's coming. With long suffering, forbearing one another in love. He's talking about church members here. Working together in the assembly. Forbearing. We bear long with our brethren and sisters. And we do it in love. Who was talking about the fellowship in 1 John? If you have fellowship with God, you have fellowship one with another. If you don't, you don't have fellowship with God. He said, now endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now I got to give you some of this now. Endeavoring. Now some of you may not be used to that word. It seems like a big word. But here's what endeavor means. Get on it and stay with it. Now, I used to like to give this illustration. Old George Warford had a rabbit dog, a beagle hound. He raised them. They were good registered hounds. And he had one, her name was New View June. That was her name. And you ought to watch that female dog run rabbits. Boy, she had a mouth on her. That's good. With a rabbit dog, when you say she's got a mouth on her, that's good. I watched her a time or two back up on a hill, and there's a big field is fenced in full of briars and thick thistles and something you don't want to go walking in to try to kick up a rabbit. But send old New View June in there, buddy, and sit back. He got a shotgun. And there she kicks up a rabbit. And that rabbit takes off. That rabbit, you know how fast they can run, boy. And that rabbit runs all the way around that field just lickety-split, hard as it can run. And there's old Nevu June right behind her, but nothing more than just a little bit of a trot. And boy, there's that rabbit just running hard as it can. But after a while, that rabbit has to stop. And that's when that rabbit gets shot. What did Nevu June do? She endeavored to get after that rabbit. And she got that rabbit. She didn't quit. She didn't run. She stayed steady. Now he says for us, church members, to endeavor to do this, to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now I hear every now and then, a preacher says, oh, we gotta work to get the church unified. You haven't read the Bible. You can't get a church in unity. I can't get a church in unity. If that is the Lord's church, and the Lord has added to the church his people, the Spirit of God is there, you've already got the unity of the Spirit. What we're to do is to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Brother Braun talking about peace in the bulletin this morning. Now he says there's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. Look at all these ones. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, one God and Father of all who is above all, through all and in you all. This is all about one. Amen. Unity, that's one. That's right. One is unity. And he says, there's one body. He says this to the church at Ephesians, of the Ephesians. He's talking about the church body. He's not talking about something universal and invisible. You've never seen a universal invisible body. If it's invisible, you ain't seen it at all. And if it doesn't ever meet, it's not an assembly. Therefore, it's not a church. What heresy? Neither is it universal and visible. Some ideologues say the church is universal, visible. No, it's not. The church means assembly. The church does not mean building. It does not mean denomination. It means assembly. If it doesn't assemble, it ain't assembly. How brilliant is that? If it can't assemble, it can't be an assembly. It's got to be something else. And that's what they try to do with kingdom and family, brother. You're right on that. Try to make the kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom, and the family, which is a spiritual family, try to make that the church. Oh, no. Family, kingdom, and church are not synonyms. Anyway, one body is the kind of church. Jesus says, upon this rock himself, I am now and will be building my kind of assembly. And that's the kind there is. The only kind of a church that the Lord recognizes is a kind that he built. So, well, what about that first one? Well, it's gone. But you see, they did mission work. And off of that authority, they start others. And that's why we've been here ever since. Anyway, one Spirit. Now that capital S, the Holy Spirit of God. The eternal Spirit of God. And there it is. And he says, and one hope of your calling. Well, that one hope is eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ and everything it involves. One Lord, not many. One Lord, one faith. That means body of faith. That's the same faith. Jude said, contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. That's the same one. That's everything the Lord teaches here. That's the faith once delivered to the saints. Now, one baptism. What kind of baptism is that? The only kind of baptism that the church at Ephesus knew about, and that's water baptism. You say, well, what about the baptism of the Spirit? Yes, there was that one time that the church that Jesus built was immersed by Jesus in the Holy Spirit. Never to be repeated. Now, all of these people that talk about the universal invisible church, they say that you're baptized by the Spirit into that universal invisible church. Both of them are lies. Completely unscriptural. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Brother Kazee in his tract says that we're here because we have a common experience of salvation. We were all saved the same way. Doesn't mean we had the same circumstances. The Apostle Paul had circumstances none of us had on the road to Damascus. And he was stopped by the Holy Spirit. Eyes were put out, blinded. And the Lord spoke to him personally. I haven't had that experience, but when he talks to the church at Corinth about the gospel, he said, the gospel which I also received first. Amen. And that's how we are all saved, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Those are the facts of the gospel. So, apostles, saved just like me. If you're saved, we're all saved the same way. And that's what he says. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We're not all the same. We're different. You've got different background, different upbringing, different education, different experiences. But there's the beauty part of a New Testament church, is that you got people from all over, from every different walk of life and background, and we fellowship in one body. So, some of you can pick it up quicker than others. Everybody doesn't know everything. Matter of fact, Paul even says, to the church at Corinth, that him that is weak in the faith, or in Rome, I think it's Romans, yeah, Rome, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. Somebody that's weak in the faith, as long as they're not a stark raving maniac heretic, if they're teachable, bring them in the church, and you teach them with gentleness and with forbearance. And with long suffering, here a little and there a little. That's what we're all about. Don't get mad because everybody don't know everything that you know. Be thankful they don't, because now there's something for you to do. See? So, he said, wherefore he saith, verse 8, when he ascended up on high. Jesus ascended up on high after the resurrection. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I think that means that where he got them out of the place of paradise, and then he gave gifts, sent back gifts unto men. Here we go. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He came down here from the throne of grace. Amen. He made himself poor. He gave up everything, that we through his poverty might be made rich. But now, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. I haven't done a lot of research on that, and I don't think there's much that you can do. He hath ascended, look at that, up far above all heavens. Now, I know the astronomers tell us that they don't know how far out it goes. When you look out into the sky, you see stars, but how far beyond those stars does the heavens go? Why, we don't know. But look here, I've got an idea how far it is. Because where it was Jesus went, here it is. Above all heavens. I don't think there's any heaven, anything out there above where Jesus is.
Amen.
Good point. Now we've got some idea just exactly how far it goes out there. Is it go on to infinity? Well, I'll tell you this. It goes on past the heavens we know about. And Jesus is far above that. And he gave some apostles. Well, we know who they were. I'm not going to get through all this. He gave some apostles. The word apostolos in the Greek means sent one. These were men that were given these special jobs. They were sent. Jesus said to them, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. So what did they do? Well, you see, there never had been a church in the world before. There wasn't one in the Old Testament, never was. In the Old Testament, the days of the tabernacle and the temple, that's how you serve God. But now he's got his kind of an assembly, different from everything, and yet it was still the temple of God in the New Testament. And so, everything's getting planted. Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, the others to the Jews, and some others to the Greeks and all. So, they were the church planters to begin with. And after they died, every one of them died a martyr's death. There were no more apostles. You can't take me anywhere in the scriptures and show me where there is a perpetuation of the apostolic office. There's not. Neither can you show me where there's an extension of the prophetic office. Yes, there were prophets. Yes, there were apostles and prophets in the early church. But when they died out, there's no more. So some of these dudes come up and say, well, we've got an apostle. No, you don't. We've got a prophet. No, you don't. The church that Jesus built has an apostolic ministry. We have a prophetic ministry because we've got all the works that the Lord intended us to have from the prophets, both Old and New Testament, and the apostles. So you could say that our ministry is prophetic. Our ministry is apostolic because we've got it all. Now that is all the Lord intends for us to have. Now, and some evangelists, the word evangelist, get ready for it. I'm going to give it to you. Evangelist, gospelizer. It's the same word for gospel. An evangelist is a gospelizer. Now, could that be missionaries? I think so. All right, now, some pastors, teachers. Pastors and teachers go together. They're the same. Now, what are they for? Here we go. The purpose of the Lord's church. Here we go. For the perfecting of the saints. Now that ain't saint so-and-so. Every child of God is a saint. The saints which be at Ephesus. The word saint, hagios, holified. God sets you apart for his use. That makes you a saint. We don't address each other as saint. We're either brother or sister. Amen. Now, for the work of the ministry, perfecting, that's the same word that Jesus used on the cross. Teleo, it is finished. For the perfecting, for the maturing and finishing of the Lord's people, for the teaching of them, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Where's the body of Christ? Right here. The assembly is the body. The body, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father in his resurrected, glorified body right now. Amen. So his body is there with him. But this is called his body on this earth. So, edifying means building up. And the church, the assembly, must be built up in what? In the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and that's till we all come in the unity. There we go back with one. In the unity of the faith. That we are all together on the faith once delivered unto the saints. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature, perfect means mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He is our perfect example. Jesus is our, I'm to be an example, but I'm not a perfect example. Jesus is all of our perfect example. And so there is the measure. Say, well, I'm as good as he is. That ain't your measure. You may be better than he is. You may be better than I am. But that ain't your measure. The measure of the stature of the fullness is the measure of Jesus Christ. There is the measure. So you say, well, I come out looking pretty good when I compare myself to other people. Well, you might do it, but see, you're starting and finishing way too low. I mean, you're not comparing yourself with anything. All you're comparing yourself with is either a saved sinner or a lost sinner. And yeah, we can do pretty good with some of them, but we ain't getting very high there. But our measure is Christ. That's our measure to measure up against. And that's why I always will be lacking. And that is so that we henceforth from now on be no more children. You ever watch children? They'll be absolutely passionate. I've got to have this, whatever it is I'm wanting. And somebody come up with something, I say, oh, okay, I'll go this. To and fro. And some people in religion are just tossed to and fro. They don't know what they believe. They don't know where they stand. He said, but the purpose is that we come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. To and fro. In other words, that we must be stable in the faith and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Be careful of reading after all these people. Now, I've got shelves full of heretic teachers, really. And I don't read them to adopt what they say. I just scan them to see what they are saying so I can rebuke it. But don't be following after just anything that says it's religion. Amen. Because it'll lead you astray. That'll be like a wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Now that sleight is S-L-E-I-G-H-T, not S-L-I-G-H-T, a different word. Let me give you some synonyms of that word sleight. Dodge, flimflam, gimmick, ploy, ruse, scheme, shenanigan, trick, wile. Now, those are all synonyms with the word slight. And all of them are used. All of them are applicable. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, that word for cunning craftiness. Panorgia. That's a Greek word. Pon means anything. Orgia for work. That means you'll do just anything. Paul talked about over in 2 Corinthians. He said, we've rejected all that craftiness, panorgia, just doing anything. There's some people that'll do anything. Well, I've seen the advertisements. We have magicians coming into the church, going to put on a demonstration, doing magic for Jesus. Well, if I understand my Bible correctly, magic, that kind of stuff comes from Satanism. How do you do magic tricks for Jesus? That's doing anything. He says, no. He said, I want you to grow up in the faith and the knowledge of Christ, that you won't be tossed to and fro by the flim-blam of man, or the just do anything by man, whereby they lie in wait to deceive with all of these things. But here's what we do. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. We speak the truth. Yes, we need to do it in love. But some people say they're doing it in love, but they don't do it. Their love causes them to leave the truth off. You don't show love for people by lying to them. Amen. You don't show love to people by giving them a false hope. I mean, you know, I think people sometimes mean well, but here somebody has a bad accident and they're in intensive care, have a bad, fatal disease, and then people come out, oh, we're sure it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, brother. It's going to be all right. You don't know that. Quit lying to them, giving them a false hope. We sang that song, there's a sad day coming. A sad day coming by and by. And what's going to happen on that sad day? It's going to be a glorious day for some, but it's going to be a sad day for far more than the sum. And that is that God is going to say, depart from me into eternal fire. I never knew you, and the smoke of your torment will ascend up forever and ever. The sad day came in the days of Noah when God shut Noah and his family, 8 people, into the ark. And God shut the door and the window, and there wasn't anybody else coming in. And there were hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people in the world, and they were all outside under the wrath of God. Was that not a sad day? And that is our absolute type of the wrath of God coming. Amen. And it's a sad day coming. He says, Christ is ahead, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Oh, brother Paul Kirkman, you say, fitly joined together, not joined together to have fits. And compacted by that. That's all your ligaments and all that, by which every joint supplied. You see, what happens, this metaphor of the body, you've got different members of the body. But if it's growing, if the body's growing correctly, everything grows within its design. Do you know, we found this out from dear Dr. Minton, Brother Minton's gone on to be with the Lord. I never didn't know this. When a baby is born, his eardrums, his the stirrup and the anvil and all that, all the ear parts, are as big as they'll ever get. Well, imagine if they get bigger. They can't get bigger. That's the design of the sovereign, wise creator, not evolution, the creator that created us. But how wise is that? Much wise, very wise, extremely wise. So every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So he compares the growth of a normal human body with the growth of the Lord's church. And we all grow together. That's why we wait for each other. And we're long-suffering to each other. That's why. And so, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other heathen. Gentiles, that's heathen. Walk in the vanity of their mind. And here's the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. They don't learn that ignorance. It's in them because of the blindness of their heart. He's talking about depraved natural flesh. And every one of us, if we're saved, we were walking according to the natural flesh, to the depraved natural flesh. But he says, we're not doing that anymore. We're to walk a different walk. So you can't say you ain't never been like that, because you were. If you're saved, you were. If you're not saved, you still are. Now, having the understanding darkened, I think I read that, verse 19, who being past feeling, that's the heathen, the unsaved, unregenerate heathen, they're past feeling, they've given themselves over unto lasciviousness, and that means everything you think it might mean. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But he said, y'all have not so learned Christ. We don't follow Christ that way. If so be that you have heard him, have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Amen. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now that's not the Holy Spirit. The spirit of your mind. In your attitude towards yourself, towards everything without, other people, and especially towards the Lord. And that you put on the new man. You can't eradicate the old man. He's still here. He'll be here until you die. Then that old man will go to the grave, never to be seen again. But you put on the new man, that's the one that God has created within you. When he did a work of grace, he regenerated you, made you anew, gave you a new heart, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that means that you've got a love for God, you've got a love for his righteousness, and a love for his holiness, therefore you follow after him. You didn't create that, God did. Amen. Wherefore, putting away lying, that means you can do it. If you're a liar, you don't have to keep on lying. You can quit it. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. We speak truth and we speak the truth of God's word. For we are members one of another. That's church members. He says, be ye angry. There's nothing wrong with anger. Oh, don't ever get mad. No, that's not what he said. He did not say that. He didn't say that anger is sin. Uh-uh. He said, be angry and sin not. Anger is not sin. It's what you do with the anger that can become sin. So he said, be angry. No, don't get rid of your anger. That's what that stupid Scientology. That's what they try to do. Get you where you don't have any opinion at all. That's not what God says here. To be a Christian, you don't have to get rid of your anger. You must control your anger. You be angry at the right things. David said, Lord, I hate every false way. I hate every false way. He says, and sin not. And for you mamas and papas and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Get it settled before you go to sleep. Amen. If you don't, that will fester up and destroy your marriage, your family, and everything else. Quit hanging on to your anger. He said, those are sinful lusts. For you to hang on, I'm mad and I ain't getting over it. That's me and I can't change. If you can't change, you're not saved. And that anger you holding on to it is a lust of the flesh just as much as any other thing.
Amen.
So he says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Because that's what you're doing. When you go to bed angry, you just moved over for the devil. Remember what Peter did? And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Peter gave place to the devil by doing what the devil's leading him to do. The devil would have you go to bed mad every night and get up every morning mad and stay mad all through the day. That's not what God would have you to do. You can't serve him in that frame of mind. Let him that stole steal no more. You can quit lying. You can quit stealing. You quit doing all you can. But rather let him labor. Go to work. Somebody says, I'm broke. Where can I go? To work. That's where you go. Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. If you don't even need the money, go to work so you can give it away. Amen? That's what he says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Corrupt communication. That be communication that corrupts. Don't let it come out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Is what you're going to say, is that going to help the one you're talking? Is that going to help your wife? Is that going to help your husband? Is that going to help your child? Sometimes things have to be said. But don't do it to destroy them. You speak the truth in love, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now let me tell you what, I've heard preachers, a lot of them, giving an invitation to just 800 verses of Just As I Am. Now, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Come on down. They're lying to you. The context here means that if you do what he says don't do, that's grieving the Holy Spirit. And that is a context. And then he says, let. If he tells you to let, that means you've got the ability to do it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and also all malice. Every one of them is bad. They're works of the flesh. He said, let these all be put away. I've talked to preachers. I've talked to church members that nothing but bitterness was coming out of their mouths. He says, let it be put away from you. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Understand this, the only reason that you and I, if you're forgiven, the only reason that you're forgiven, the only reason that I'm forgiven is because of Christ. God didn't forgive me because I asked. God forgave me because of the work of redemption that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. He actually died to satisfy the justice of Almighty God. Amen. In behalf of all of the sins of all of his people. And it's because of Christ that God has forgiven me, not because of me. So who in the world do you think you are that you won't forgive somebody that asks you to forgive them? Now, I deny all this stuff, forgiving them. Somebody murdered my mother, now I forgive them. I'm not capable of doing that. The only one, only human that could forgive one that murders one is the one that murdered. And they're murdered. They're dead. And then it's God. It's out of my hands. I can't forgive somebody on death row. They didn't murder me. I can't do it. You can't either. And I'm sick of all these preachers that, oh, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. They don't know what they're talking about. They ought to read the Bible. Even God doesn't forgive you unless you repent.
Amen.
And you ain't better than God. Anyway, just try doing this. Being kind one to another. Don't shoot off of the mouth and hurt somebody's feelings, especially your wife or your husband or your children. Be kind. Now, that Greek word there is alleluos, reciprocal, back and forth, forgiving one another. See, we'll all forgive them, but I don't need forgiveness. That's alleluos, one another. We all need forgiveness.
Amen.
Before God and before man.
Yes.
He said, so be kind one to another and don't forget God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.